WGN. John Williams here, and our friend Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company is on the line. He's in Wheeling. Hi, Bob. Welcome back.
Hi, John. How are you this week?
Pretty good. I was out working on my lawn and thought, why do I not remember everything Bob said? Can I ask a couple questions from you?
Sure, but can I make a statement first?
Yeah, actually,
so I don't forget.
I usually ask you to do that. Go ahead, Bob.
I had a meeting this morning with one of our arborists and from another firm, and he said that be on the lookout because these trees, especially the evergreens, are going to be looking for water big time because there was no snow this winter. So I'm just getting the word out early that don't be afraid to water your evergreens.
Right now, huh?
Well, today it's snowing and raining, but especially when it warms up and things, the juices really start flowing, he said they're definitely going to be struggling.
We've had so much rain lately. I mean, the grass is really green, but maybe not enough to help all the way down the roots of an evergreen, huh?
Exactly correct. A lot of it rolled off because the ground is so mucky and saturated at the surface. You want that nice slow trickle, or use a root feeder where you can actually get the water down into the root zone.
So my grass is high enough that I could mow it, but I put down some fertilizer. And then I thought, well, I can't mow it now because I'll suck up all of the fertilizer. So I just leave the fertilizer there. I put down a granular, so then I put some water on top to hopefully just settle it in a little bit. How long do you think before I can mow if I've just put some fertilizer down?
If you've watered it in, you're safe to mow right away because it's going to push it down into the thatch layer. And even those mowers do suck up the grass, they're not going to pull that fertilizer up, though. You'll be fine, especially if you watered it in.
And if you do a weed and feed, that's a product you can get at the store, and that's going to kill the weeds and feed the grass. Can you also put new grass seed down with that? Because won't the weed killer kill the new grass seed sprouts? What happens there?
It depends what kind of weed and feed it is. If it's a weed, if the weed portion of the weed and feed is for crabgrass control,
yeah,
you will not be able to seed because that seed will not germinate.
That's a grass.
Correct. And then the other thing to remember too, with a granular weed and feed, you actually need to apply it when the foliage of the plant or the grass is wet, because the herbicide that's in the prill of the fertilizer will actually stick to the leaf. And if there's no water or moisture for it to stick to it, it's just going to go and sit in the thatch layer. And again, this goes back to why I prefer liquids over granular herbicides. But if you are going to use a granular herbicide, make sure the turf is moist.
So 224 said, do I seed or fertilize first? When to do it?
You could do it at the same time. Again, but you're talking about a weed and feed versus straight fertilizer. If it's just fertilizer, you can seed and fertilize at the same time.
My lawn is so lumpy, I'm afraid to let the kids run around in fear they'll twist an ankle or trip. Any advice? We get this all the time, Bob.
Especially in the spring because of the winter freeze-thaw cycle, the ground actually moves. And so what you want to do is core aerate, which will help open up the root zones and get things moving, and then top dress it to help level it out. But don't roll it. Rolling your lawn will just exacerbate the problem and actually bring stones to the surface. So a lot of people think it's bumpy, let's roll it. That actually won't help.
What about using not tilling it, but what's the thing that punches all the holes in there, Bob?
Aerate? The core aeration, yes. Yeah. Yes, that would help a lot.
My boxwood hedges have grown over the sidewalk by 8 inches. Could I cut them back 12 inches, and will the leaves grow back? If so, when's the best time to do this?
Okay, the best time to do that is in the wintertime. They will grow back, but it's going to take a couple of seasons. You'll see some growth this year, but they're going to look bad for at least one summer, if not two.
So you could do it.
You're probably not going to kill the plant, but it's just not going to look good for a season or two.
Because it's the wrong... You would have preferred to them cut it in the winter, so now this spring the new shoots would emerge. If you're cutting it off now, you're kind of killing that growing season. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it, but the main reason I prefer to do it in the winter is the plants, even though a boxwood is an evergreen, it's not working as hard in the winter. And now if you're going to do a major pruning in the spring when the plant is using most of its energy to grow, now you're putting it into shock. So you could actually, that's why the timing of it is poor to do it now, because the plant's saying, hey, I want to grow. Now you just whacked a foot of growth off of me, and now I got to heal myself, because those wounds will have to heal before it can start pushing new growth.
Brian has a question. Brian has a question for Bob Bertog. Go ahead, Brian. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good afternoon, King John. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hey.
Over the past few weeks, we've been talking a little bit about Milorganite and then also about pre-emergent fertilizer, and wondering if we're able to put those on together or if you would recommend putting them on separately.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm 99% sure that Milorganite does not have a combination product with a pre-emergent weed control. So I would, if you're going to use Milorganite for a fertilizer, then you just want to find a product that's a straight crabgrass preventer, not any. Most of those products, though, are fertilizer herbicide combination. So I would not use Milorganite and a combination product. That's just too much nitrogen for the grass.
Because the Milorganite is the nitrogen. So if you're going to put that down, fine. But then don't put anything that's also a fertilizer, right, Bob?
Right. Over-fertilizing can burn out your lawn pretty quickly, especially if it's a high nitrogen fertilizer, which a lot of them are in the spring because they want to really push that growth.
But that Milorganite sounds like a wonder drug. Everybody wants to get their hands on it and put it out there.
It's a really good organic product. People like it because it is organic, but you really got to do your homework because it looks like it's not a very expensive bag of fertilizer, but you have to remember that one bag of fertilizer only covers about 4,000 square feet, where most of your combination products, where it's a synthetic fertilizer, they'll cover anywhere from 10 to 20,000 square feet. So you do your math and do your homework before you just go out and buy products.
Brian, does that work?
That works perfect. Thank you both very much.
Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Bob, you ready for more questions?
Yes.
What can I do about the rusty brown-looking spots on my evergreens?
You probably just hose them off. It's just probably rust, and it's usually a sign of low nitrogen. So, and I haven't seen any this year, but I'm guessing it's just probably a simple rust. You should be able to wash it off.
You've talked in the past about fertilizing those evergreens and trees. Do you like the plugs that you stick into the ground or a product that you just sprinkle on the dirt on top? Which is the best way to fertilize these things?
I prefer to get it into the root zone. So I actually like those. They're the Ross root feeders, the ones you put the tablets in the little cup, and then you just put a slow trickle to the. It's on the garden hose, and you just kind of trickle it around the drip line of the plant.
That's not something like with a prong that you stick way down into the dirt, is it?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. And there's holes on the bottom of it, but you don't have to go too deep with it. Maybe 10 inches into the ground, and then you're right into the fibrous root zones, and then you don't want to blast it where it's just spraying out too much. A nice slow trickle feed is much better.
Here's some questions for Bob Bertog. This is Dave. You're on WGN. Dave, how can we help you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love your segment.
Great.
Two-part question about grass. I know Bob says don't cut it or cut it before it lays over, but what is the optimum height for your very first cutting of grass? And then as you progress into the summer, what is the optimum height in, say, June and July and August that you want to keep the grass at?
3 inches.
Is that the answer to all of his questions? 3 inches?
No. No, it's 3 inches for the summer. You can cut it a little shorter in the spring, and then actually in the fall you want to cut it down to about 2 inches.
Okay.
Because then it helps keep the diseases off for the winter.
So do spring and summer for me. I'm going to cut it right now. How long would you like it to be?
Well, it's probably not at 3 inches yet. So if you wanted to cut that first cutting just to get the stimulation of the turf and, to cut the grass blades, probably at 2.5 inches. But by June, you should be at 3 inches.
I see people in their lawns with rulers now, Bob. Okay, 3 inches in the summer. All right, I hope that helps, Dave. Good luck to you. Tim, you're on WGN. How can we help you with Bob Bertog?
Hi, Bob. I have a question. I got the grub infested in my lawn last late summer or fall, and I was wondering how I can treat that this spring.
Well, right now, if you didn't treat it last fall where you killed them with a fast-acting insecticide, you want to put down a product in June, late May, early June. It's Merit is one of them. Bayer's makes a product. There's a bunch of different ones. GrubX is a product. And what it is, it provides a longer window of suppression. It's not going to when the grubs come back up to feed, what they're going to do, they're going to run into that barrier of insecticide, they'll ingest it, and then they'll die before they can feed on the grass. That's the theory behind it. Some of them are going to make it through, though. It's, you know, it's kind of like getting a shot for COVID. Some people still get COVID. So it's a preventative measure, but June is the time to put it down.
Okay, and then to treat that area that's like patchy now with dirt and some clumps of grass, would I top dress that when the soil gets warm enough and then put down a grass seed, or what would you recommend?
You can do that now. I don't think you know, the seeds are going to start germinating. It, obviously, today's an anomaly with the temperatures, but we're supposed to be back up in the 50s and 60s pretty quickly here. So you can go ahead, rake it up, top dress it with some compost / topsoil and put the grass seed on it, and it should be fine.
Good luck to you, Tim. How about this? Should you use Milorganite on a flower bed?
You can. It's a great organic fertilizer, not very high in nitrogen, so it's not going to burn anything out.
Is an opened bag of grass seed that was stored in the basement over the winter still good?
If it was new last year, yes. But grass seed probably has maybe a two-season shelf life. That's about it.
Some of the branches on my boxwoods have brown leaves. What's going on? How do I fix that?
That's winter burn. It should grow out. Again, well, boxwood's an evergreen, and we just talked about it at the beginning. Evergreens need water, so you're not going to hurt them by starting to water them early this year.
Diane, you've got a question for Bob Bertog. How can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. I am trying to level my front lawn. We've done coration before. We've done dethatching. I've been on a whole bunch of websites, and depending on our soil and what type of part where we live in the U.S., it says sand, sand and peat moss, sand. What do we use here in Zone 5 to level our lawn? I got the big landscaping rake. What do I need to put that down before I hit it with the rake?
Wow.
You can use the topsoil mix that you're talking about, and putting the sand in there, actually, that helps break up the soil as well, and it helps smooth things out. So it's not a 50-50 ratio, though. The majority of it, you want it to be topsoil, and the sand is just mixed in there to help level things out. So if it's a combination of sand and soil, that's the perfect mix. And actually, a lot of garden centers already have it pre-mixed, and you can get it in bulk if you want to have it.
You're going to need it in bulk if you're leveling out a lawn like you need. Are you going to have a whole truck of dirt dumped in your yard and you're going to push it around?
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking about, or buying little bags of it at a time so I don't kill myself all at once. But the site said I have to use mason sand, no play sand. Do you know anything about the difference in the sands?
It's just the size of the granular of the sand. It doesn't, mason sand is a smaller prill, but it's not going to harm anything if you want to use playground sand. It's not a big deal.
That's good to know too. Diane, I don't know what you're charging, but I've got a pretty big front yard myself. And when you're done with yours, if you'll get the big landscape rake out and push my sand and dirt around, hats off to you, girl. Thanks for the phone call. It's 128. Bob, we're out of time. You're always a big help. Will you join us next Wednesday?
Absolutely, John. Happy to do it.
Bob is the You Betcha. Happy springtime. It's